Today our scripture comes from Psalm 145, verses 10 through 18. Listen to these words. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all he does, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Thank you, Kathy, and appreciate you sharing that song with us. Thank you. And thank you, Mary Graham, for helping Kathy out today, but also for filling in the past couple of weeks. I appreciate your willingness. A couple of things that I just want to mention to you before I start the sermon. September 12th will be an exciting day for us. That afternoon, we're going to have a picnic at Crater Lake Baptist Church. So I hope that you, Crater Lake Baptist Camp. Thank you for keeping me in line. We'll go down there and gather together, and the church is going to supply the meats. And if you'll bring a side dish and a dessert, enough to share with everybody, that would be greatly appreciated. We'll spend some good time down there. But also on that Sunday, we're going to start Sunday school class back, the classes that we have. We're also going to start fellowship groups. If you'd like to be part of the fellowship groups, let me know. We're going to meet here in the sanctuary on that first Sunday when we do fellowship groups to find out how many people we have that are interested and how we're going to split the groups up. And then also to give you an idea of how the groups will work by having an example group that morning. So we'll start that on September the 12th. September the 15th, we will start Wednesday night suppers again. So over this next month and a little bit more, if you have time and you can help, Jan is going to pick a date. But if you have time and can help in any ways, we have the fellowship hall and the pantry and the kitchen have been dormant for 16 months by us, not by some other critters. Okay, there have been some other critters down there that have been very busy eating everything we left down there. So we need help cleaning what's left. We could find out what the critters don't like, but we need help cleaning that up, cleaning the fellowship hall up, cleaning the kitchen, the pantry. Like I said, Janet's going to pick a date when it's going to be the main emphasis, but if you can help in any way and can spend some time helping at any time, let us know. I'm sure that Janice will be ready to supply a list and put you to work, okay? But all of that area needs to be cleaned up before we can use it again for Wednesday night suppers. So if you can help, please let us know, and we'll make sure that you get an opportunity to help. Looking forward to all of that, and looking forward to getting all of that started again so that we can be together. We'll have Wednesday night supper and prayer meeting and Bible study here at the church and not on Zoom anymore. So I'm still trying to determine if there's a way that I can get things recorded so it can be put up for those who can't be here on Wednesday night, but that's a process that I'm working on, and we'll see where I end up by September for that. There is no doubt in my mind, and I know that I've talked about this previous Sundays, there's a lot going on in our world. there's a lot happening, and we really don't know what might happen the coming week. It seems as though the weeks continue to be that way time and time again, that new things pop up, new things occur, new things happening. This next weekend, a very shortened form of Chautauqua for this weekend. Instead of a week long, 8 days long, 10 days long, it's going to be a very shortened form for this coming weekend. So things are drastically changing in our world, but this world can be so overwhelming with everything that happens around us. Do you agree with me? This world can be so overwhelming with everything that happens around us. Sometimes we're not quite sure how to respond to things that happen. And sometimes we're not quite sure whether we should respond, whether we should participate, whether we should be part, whether it should just be part of our prayers. I've encouraged people for years. For the most part, I don't read the newspaper anymore. I get most of my news from online. But I want you to think about this. You can always use the newspaper or wherever you get your news from as a means of things to pray about. Instead of just being a way of gathering news, it truly can be a way of looking at what's happening and praying about what's happening. Whether it's a disaster somewhere, whether it's joy and happiness for something that's happened, the newspaper can always be your prayer journal. And you can always spend time, because for me, prayer does much more than many other things that we can do. You guys are a praying church and prayed about many things, but I just encourage you, branch that out some and think about as you watch the news, just don't be despondent about what happens on the news. Take that as an opportunity to bring that to God. My major professor in seminary, E. Glenn Henson, one time taught at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And when he taught there, he was able to take his students one day. He was teaching church history at that time. And he was able to take his students to the Garden of Gethsemane in Kentucky, which is a Trappist monastery. And they gave him a guide that would walk him around. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to take his students there so that they could see and they could understand what it was possibly like in the medieval times in the ways that they lived in monasteries, because the Trappists there still live very much like that. The tour guide that they got for that day was Thomas Merton. And if you don't know about Thomas Merton, I would encourage you to spend some studies on Thomas Merton. An incredibly intelligent man. Incredibly deep in his relationship with God. And he dedicated his life to live there for the rest of his life. And most of that time he lived in a small house outlying from the rest of the property where all the monks would gather together in the chapel and whatnot, in a hermitage, and lived by himself. His writings are absolutely fabulous. He gave them a tour, and then they had a question and answer time. And one of the students said, "I have a question. He says, how is a man as intelligent as you wasting your time in a monastery like this?" My professor, Glenn Henson, said he could have crawled under anything that was there and stayed there forever. Because he figured for sure they would never let him bring another group of students back. But he said Thomas Merton's answer was the best he'd ever heard. He said, "God has called me to be here to pray for the world. And if I'm not praying, the world won't do as well. And I always think about that. Prayer makes a difference. Amen. This world may be overwhelming around us, but we can take it to God in prayer. If they were to shut down the churches, if they were to take away Bibles, they cannot take away prayer. I will always be a praying person. So I encourage you, as the world overwhelms us, turn those into prayers. King David is the one who wrote this psalm. And David speaks in this psalm about knowing and speaking about the mighty works of God. Over and over again, he talks about what God has done for people, how God brings them food, how God protects them, how God helps them, how God encourages them, how God lifts them up, how God has done so much. My love for the Old Testament, for the Hebrew Bible, is great. I love to spend time reading the Hebrew Bible. I loved, and for those of you that are not familiar with me saying that, I don't like saying Old Testament. Because Old Testament gives the idea of, that's old. We got a New Testament, a new and improved. Okay, you don't go to the grocery store and buy the old detergent, do you? You buy the one that says new and improved. Somebody's going to come to me afterwards and tell me you buy the old detergent because that's the one you always trust. That's not a bad thing. You see, we need to know the stories of the Hebrew Bible. We need to know them well, and we need to rehearse them, and we need to speak about them time and time and time again. I'll be always thankful for my Old Testament professor, Sam Ballantyne, who created within me a love for the Hebrew Bible. A matter of fact, he did it in an unusual way that many of you would go, whoa. He wouldn't let us talk about Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to understand these stories from the perspective of the people who lived them, the people who heard the words, and why these words were important to them, and why the stories were important to them before we talk about Jesus Christ. What a great gift that was. To talk about the stories of Moses, and to talk about all that God did for the people to bring them out of slavery, and to rehearse them time and time again, and to hear Moses say as he stands on the banks of the Red Sea and the people are behind him, and behind them is the Egyptian army barreling down upon them, and Moses turns to him and says, the enemies you see today, you will never see again. The Lord has this in control. And the seas were parted, and the Israelites walked across the dry ground, and the Egyptians followed them, and the seas came back. What a story! What an absolute incredible story to realize that's the God that we serve. That's the God, and that's the ability of the God that we serve. To do incredible things. The enemies you see today, you will never see again. God speaks that in your lives too. Will you hear it? To read the stories of Elijah and Elisha, two of the greatest prophets of all Israel. Some of the stories still confuse me, and I still haven't grabbed a hold of them. But I love the story about Elijah when he thinks he's the only one left that's faithful to God. God, everyone else has disappeared, and I'm the only one, And he basically says, oh, woe is me, just kill me. And God feeds him. And God says, Elijah, you're not the only one. There are others that have been faithful to me. Now it's time for you to leave this place and go find them. What a wonderful story. How about the story of Jonah? Janet's got a grandson that only knows me by the name Jonah. Even though I've told him my name's Tim, he says, no, you're Jonah. And he always calls me Jonah. And he's what, 10 now? 8? Jonah's a wonderful story that we only tell 3/4 of to the children, by the way. We kind of refuse to tell them the 4th chapter. I love the 4th chapter. Because the 4th chapter of Jonah tells me it's okay to be mad with God. It's okay to be mad with the circumstances that happen. Go and read Jonah chapter 4. The book ends with God saying, Jonah, is it right for you to be mad? And Jonah says, yes, it is. And God says, okay, good, sit there. End of story. No wonder we don't tell that to kids, huh? We want to tell them the happy part about, oh, the whole town was saved when Jonah did what he was supposed to do. And take the children's book and turn to the last page and you see Jonah smiling his face in every children's story. How unbiblical that is. We don't want to tell kids that it's okay to be mad with God and talk to God about it. So I quite often ask people, how would you write chapter 5 of Jonah? Does Jonah sit there the rest of his life and continue to be mad with God, or does he get over it and get on with his spiritual journey? I think that's one of the reasons that book is there. You see, we need to know these stories. We need to tell them over and over again. We need to rehearse them. God didn't look at Jonah and said, okay, you're mad, you're dead. He said, Jonah, I'm going to let you live. And you're going to have to work this out. And the Bible doesn't tell us whether Jonah worked it out or not. That's for you to ponder. You see, when we remember God's care for those who love God, it gives us confidence for our journey. It gives us confidence for our journey. When we can see what God has done in the past, and we can see how God has helped people, how God has encouraged people, I hope that God never calls me to the ministry that Isaiah had. Isaiah willingly said, here am I, Lord, send me. And God says, okay, I want you to go tell the people all my words. And by the way, they're going to hate you forever. And Jonah says, how long have I got to do this? Till I tell you to stop. But they're not going to like you. They're going to close their ears and they're not going to listen to you. So there's some wonderful passages in Isaiah where God continues to encourage Isaiah and lift him up and say, comfort, oh comfort for my people Israel. Come to the waters. Come and buy food without money. Wonderful messages. Uplifting and powerful. And when I realize those messages and can understand those messages, it gives me confidence to walk the path that I have. As a Christian that was not only a year old, I found some verses in the Bible that I have always held on to. They came from Joel chapter 2, verse 25. God speaks through Joel and says, for all the years that the locusts have eaten in your life, For all the years that the locusts have taken away from what you have, I'm paraphrasing, by the way, God says, I will repay you. And as a young Christian who had had problems in my life with many different things, I said, God, you promised if I came to you, you would repay me. The locusts have eaten at my life, and you promised that you would repay me, and I look for you to do that. God, things are not going right now, but you promised. It's words that are close to my heart even still. Yet I don't hold them up to God anymore and say, God, you promised to fix all this stuff. Because God has overpaid me now already. With a relationship with Him, God has overpaid me time and time and time again through the years. It's not a promise I hold up to God and say, God, the locusts have eaten and you promised to repay me. Now it's something I hold up and say, God, you have been more than faithful to repay me over and over and over again for following you with enormous blessings. One of the things that we've got to learn how to do, though, David speaks about in this psalm, and we should call to God from what we find in our hearts. As I sit down and talk with people, I find hearts that are hurting, hearts that are painful, hearts that don't know which step to take forward next. Hearts that just wonder, is there any more pain that can come to my life? But I also find people that hold all that stuff in their hearts and they never talk to God about it. They may pray, and oftentimes they pray for other people, but not for themselves. Oftentimes they don't open their hearts so that they can even see what's inside their heart. I know we have some nurses. Sometimes wounds have to heal from the inside out. And if you cover it over first, the sickness never gets out. It just festers and grows. And if you're not willing to open your heart before God, that's what will happen to you. We've got to be honest with ourselves, folks, and sit down and just peel back the layers of our heart and say, God, this hurts. God, I did wrong. This is painful. We've got to recognize what hurts there. So we've got to call from God from what we find in our hearts. That's one of the reasons I love to study David. And next week we're going to have a very hard passage on David. A very hard passage. Where David had to dig deep in his own heart and throw it all out before God and say, help me, for I have sinned. You see, when we call God from the truth of our lives, David says we will find God near to us. When we call to God from the truth of our lives, we will find God near to us. I've had a lot of people in my spiritual walk tell me, Pastor, you can't do a spiritual walk that way. You can't live that way. You can't say those things. That's not, God's not gonna like that. And then the very next sentence, you know what they tell me? Which makes no sense with what they just told me. God knows everything. If God already knows everything, why can't I talk to God about the hurts and the pains and the faults that are there? If God already knows it, right? And what does David say in verse 18? The Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him in truth. Folks, when you peel back the layers of your heart, and when you find something there that's not pretty, that's ugly, that's bad, that's disgusting, talk to God about it. Speak what it is. I have found sometimes if you put it in words, you can work through it. Or you can cover it over if you want, and it's going to fester, and it's going to get worse. I struggle with the spiritual discipline of using a journal. My journal is for God and me. And I write down my thoughts, my struggles, my hurts, my pains, however I need to do it. I don't share what I write in my journal with anyone else. It's for just God and I. It's one of the ways that I work through some things. It's one of the ways that I say, God, look what I just found in my heart. Look at how ugly this is. And quite often God says, I agree with you. But then God says, let's see how we can fix that. If you'll let me, I'll help you. What does David say? The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. You will never fool God. You might fool yourself, but you'll never fool God. If you want to find God walking with you, be truthful about what you find in your heart. Speak about it. Share about it. Talk to God. I'm not saying you got to stand up here and confess it to the whole church. Talk to God about it. Be honest about what you find. But don't forget about the stories. Don't forget about the stories about the golden calf. God didn't kill the people. Don't forget about the stories when the people didn't follow God and God says, off you go to exile for 70 years. But God kept the people. And God brought them back and reestablished the nation again. Once they were ready to be truthful about who they were, and what was going on about them. Remember those stories. Those are the stories that lift me up. Because, yeah, I did wrong. And God says, guess what? I give you another chance. I like the quote I saw a number of weeks ago that says, God's got a plan for your life. And you can't mess it up. You don't have enough power to mess it up. Think about that. You don't have enough power to mess up the blessings, the grace, the mercy, the love, the comfort, and the peace that God wants to bring to you. You don't have that kind of power. Because God loves you. Be honest with what you find and come to God, and I think that you will find God is near. I'm going to finish with this little joke. An elderly gentleman was driving his wife around in the truck. And they saw this young couple in another truck. And that young couple was sitting as close together as they possibly could get. He's driving and she's sitting over here. And she says, "Isn't that wonderful? Look at that. That's the way we used to be. What happened?" And he said, "I'm still sitting in the same place." When you feel far from God, God's still sitting in the same place. Call on God in truth, and God is near. Let us pray. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that no matter what we do, that if we just become truthful with ourselves and our relationship with you, that we'll find you near. You have done that throughout history for people that have failed time and time again. You still chose to be near. Lord, thank you. Help us as we peel back the layers of our heart, and as we find what is there, and as we read our scriptures and find the incredible stories of what you've done, help us that we might be truthful with you and with ourselves, so that we can find you closer than we ever thought you were, to help us through this spiritual journey that you've called us on. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.